Psalm 104. Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundation. It can never be moved. You covered it with a deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains, but at your rebuke the waters fled. At a sound of your thunder they took flight. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the air nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for man to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Wine that gladdens the heart of man, oil to make his face shine, and bread that sustains his heart. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. Where the birds make their nests, the stork has its home in the pine trees. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the conies. The moon marks off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then man goes out to his work, to his labor until evening. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is a sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small. There the ships go to and fro, and the Leviathan, which you formed to frolic there. These all look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you sent your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works. He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. But may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord.
I must confess that the words harvest festival will always cause me to break out into a slight cold sweat. This is because for 5 years I had to take a harvest festival for Lichard Ladies. Now, Lichard Ladies were a bit like the WI. The church I served was in a place called Lichard. And to be blunt, Lichard Ladies were intimidating. There was an abundance of sensible shoes, tweed skirts, twin sets, and pearls. There weren't actually any blue rinses, but I felt there should have been. I don't know if anyone has seen Calendar Girls. Well, they were like the respectable matrons, except they didn't make a calendar. Several of them claimed to have been members of my church, even though I'd never seen them at a service. For some reason, I was the chosen clergyman who was selected to take their annual harvest service. They were actually very nice women. They did lots of good works around the community. In a way, they represented a bygone society. They were respectable women who believed it was right at harvest time to say thank you to God for all his gifts to us. They're right about this. We should say thank you to God for all his goodness to us. And our society needs to be reminded of this. Now, turning to our text, Psalms 103 and 104 form a pair. Both begin and end with the words, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." Psalm 103 tells of the goodness of God in salvation. Psalm 104 tells of the greatness of God in creation. Psalm 103 depicts God as the Father with his children. Psalm 104 as the Creator with his creatures. Psalm 103 lists God's benefits to us. Psalm 104 describes his works. The author clearly has Genesis 1 in mind. He follows the same basic order, beginning with the creation of light, ending with human beings as the climax of creation. He describes in poetic form how God made the heavens and the earth and provides drink, food, shelter for all birds, beasts, and people. After further meditation on God's varied works, he concludes with a prayer that God's glory may endure, a resolve to worship God throughout his life, and a desire that sinners who spoil God's world should be destroyed. Well, that's where we're going. I've got three headings. Firstly, God's creation of heaven and earth, verses 1 to 9. Look at verse 1. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Can you see what the psalmist is doing here? He's talking to himself. One of the many things I enjoyed about studying in Oxford and Cambridge was walking around the town noticing how many people talk to themselves. People have lengthy conversations with themselves. They laugh at their own humour. Now, I've always talked to myself. I used to be embarrassed about it. Now I'm out and proud. I do indeed talk to myself. And I want you to talk to yourselves. Not because I want you to look silly walking up the pavement, which you might, but I want you to coach yourself in how to be a Christian. Come on, self. Don't do that. Don't think that. Don't go down that route. Many of us in this room have suffered from depression. It's very common. And I've realized we've got to take charge of our psychological state. Don't go down a hole. Don't go down a hole of despair, self-pity, and anxiety. Talk to yourself. Remind yourself God is on the throne. God loves you. You are secure in him. He is working out his purposes for your life. And the most fundamental thing to say to yourself is, praise. Come on, self. Don't be miserable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. One of the many things which has impressed me about David Ross in recent times is that when we stood at Irene's open grave, he led us in a song of praise and thanksgiving. That's spiritual maturity. When we feel miserable, we tell ourselves to praise the Lord. I wonder, will you do that this week? Now, why should you praise the Lord? Lots of reasons. But one reason is because, verse 1, he is very great. He is the Creator God. Think of the greatness of the universe. He made it. It's no secret that I'm very impractical. I never succeeded in making anything in either woodwork or metalwork in school. I sat through 4 years of those subjects and never finished a single project. I can't make anything. Fortunately, I can make a sermon. I can make a fool of myself. But there's not much else I can make. Human beings can, of course, be very clever. But God made the universe. Therefore, he is worthy of praise. Have you ever praised and thanked him for creating the world and giving you life within it? He is clothed with splendor and majesty. I once went to look at the Queen. I was about 10, and my mother and I went to Windsor because King Olav of Norway, I think it was Norway, was coming on a state visit. And we thought it would be fun to get there very early and find a viewing spot and watch the Queen go past in a coach, which we did. And it was very splendid. All the soldiers marched past, the bands played, and I'm convinced the Queen gave me a smile. The Queen was very splendid that day. But the splendor of God cannot be described, except in poetic language, verse 2. He wraps himself in light. The picture is that the light of the sun is God's garment. Of course, it's not really. This is poetry. But you get the idea. Ever watched the light at sunset or sunrise? Or been out like a mad dog in the midday sun? That kind of brightness is splendid. God is a bit like that. Only more glorious. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Another thing I'm very bad at is putting up tents. Makes you want to say things I shouldn't. But God stretched out the sky. Therefore, we should worship him. Verse 3, the foundations of God's house are depicted as set upon the waters of the sky. Clearly, this is poetic. Heaven is not up there, and hell is not down there. This is poetic language. But heaven and hell are nonetheless real. God does not actually fly around on the clouds as if they were his chariot or ride on the wind. The point we're meant to take away is, he is the glorious creator of heaven and earth. Verse 4, the wind is not his messenger, fire is not his servant, angels are his messengers. Jesus appointed apostles to be his messengers. We are his messengers at home at school, at college, at work, at play. We are to represent God. But you get the idea. God is the Lord of creation. The whole of creation obeys his will. Verse 5, he set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. I said last Sunday night that part of our role as stewards of creation is to be concerned for ecology. It's biblical to be green, to steward the earth's resources. However, we don't have to give way to despair regarding the preservation of the earth. The fact is, God made the world. God will one day recreate the world. He set it on its foundations. It can never be moved. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So said God to Noah. I don't lie awake worrying about the future of the planet. It's in God's hands. Verse 6, he covered it with the deep like a garment. Lovely picture of the sea, like a big duvet surrounding the earth. Not a very warm duvet, it must be said. Well, not in Wales, anyway. God arranged the seas, 6 and 7, so that the mountains poked out of the top. His voice is depicted as thunder. The waters all ended up, verse 8, in the places where God wanted water. We have friends who live in Denmark, and they came to stay with us in Wales. And there's a lovely river walk near our house in Wales. And we took our friends for a walk. Their children nearly fell over backwards. They'd never seen a river. Apparently, there are hardly any rivers in Denmark. The river we showed them was not all that impressive. It's quite fast flowing, and there are rocks which create rapids. To us, it was just the river we saw every day. To our friends, it was like the eighth wonder of the world. The psalmist conveys that sort of sense of wonder. God arranged the rivers. God arranged the seas. He must be amazing then, mustn't he? And verse 9, he will be sovereign over the waters. Never again will he flood the earth as he flooded the earth in the days of Noah. He is sovereign. God's creation of heaven and earth. Secondly, God's provision for beasts and birds and people. Verses 10 to 23. Now, I somewhat controversially conjectured that animals don't go to heaven in my sermon last Sunday night. On reflection, the Bible does say the lion shall lie down with the lamb. I don't wish to be unkind to animals, although I am resisting quite significant pressure from the junior members of the Jenkins family to buy a pet. The point I was trying to make last week was, only humans are made in the image of God. That's why it's totally acceptable to kill a fox. But it is not acceptable to kill a fetus. However, God cares about animals. Verse 10, he makes the water flow. Verse 11, to give water to the animals, to donkeys, birds, verse 12. Verse 13, he personally supervises the rain. Again, I think this is poetic. Verse 14, he makes the grass grow for the cows. And he makes the plants grow for people. He makes the crops grow, for which we are thanking him today. And here's a good bit, verse 15. God provides wine that gladdens the heart of man. Isn't that encouraging? I do like a glass of wine. It's the provision of my heavenly Father. However, getting drunk is wrong. If you can't drink without getting drunk, don't drink. I've already taken 3 alcoholics' funerals. I don't want to take another one. He makes oil to make your face shiny. Do you want a shiny face? My father's nickname in work is Teflon, because he's always put on Boots Cold Cream on his face. It's the secret of his youthful good looks, but it does make his face a bit shiny. Anyway, God has given us oil to make our faces shine. I believe olive oil is very good for you in all sorts of ways. And he has given us bread to sustain us. God is very good to us. He's provided trees where the birds can make their nests, verses 16 and 17. He's provided the high mountain for the wild goats and the conies. A coney, I have discovered, is also known as a hyrax, and it's a small, shy rock dweller. So now you know. God also created the moon and the sun. He brings out the darkness when the nocturnal animals come to life, verse 20. When the lions come out, verse 21. And then the sun rises at God's command. The lions go back to their dens and people go out to work. There is order in creation. God's creation of heaven and earth. God's provision for birds and beasts and people. Thirdly, God's creation and preservation of all creatures. Verses 24 to 30. Our society increasingly longs that Richard Dawkins should be right. There is no God. Nature is purely a random accident. The world is an accident. If there is no God, there is no right and wrong. We can do what we like. It's clearly ridiculous to imagine that the world made itself. I mean, my breakfast didn't make itself. This sermon didn't make itself. Anything that is made requires intelligence and skill. A designer. There is a creator. Verse 24. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. We are creatures made by a creator. Verse 25. The sea is full of God's creation. Verse 26. There are only ships on the sea because God gave man the intelligence to build them. They didn't build themselves. It's a ridiculous idea. Leviathan is a sea monster. I don't know what this might refer to. Maybe it refers to a whale. I've no idea. The point is, God made them. All creatures, great and small. 27, these all look to you. It's the height of arrogance and ingratitude for our society to say we will not look to God. We're satisfied by the good things from his hand. Verse 28. Verse 29, when he hides his face, we are terrified. This is a consistent biblical theme. God's blessing means God turning his face towards us. God smiling at us. We all hate it when people won't look at us. The Bible teaches that we can either be in the place of God's blessing, when he is smiling at us, or we can be in the place of God's curse, when God turns his face away from us. Hell will be the ultimate experience of God turning his face away. Do you remember what happened to Jesus on the cross? He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God turned his face away from Jesus as he hung there on the cross. God's love was withdrawn. And all that Jesus experienced was God's anger for my sin. Hell will be an eternal experience of being under God's anger with his face turned away. But because Jesus died in the place of sinners like us on the cross, we can escape hell. We can have God's face turned towards us in love and blessing for all eternity. And all we have to do is admit our need for forgiveness and ask Jesus to be our Savior, to save us from hell for heaven. And we have to commit ourselves to living with Jesus as our King. So, verse 29, need not apply to us. We need not fear God hiding his face. We need not fear the day when God will take away our breath and we will die. We can look forward to being absent from the body, present with the Lord. And in the meantime, we can enjoy verse 30. God sending his Spirit. Because when we put our faith in Jesus, he sends his Spirit into our lives and we are renewed. We become new people. We think in a different way. We speak in a different way. We love in a different way. We are filled with praise. We join in the worship of verse 31. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May he rejoice in his creation. Verse 33 is precious to me. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I love to sing. I sing all sorts of things. But nothing thrills me more than singing about my Savior. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Can you say that? Do you love him? Are you grateful for all that he's done for you? Can you say verse 34? May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord. It's very important to meditate. I don't mean emptying your mind like Eastern meditation. I mean filling your mind with biblical truth and turning it over, chewing it over, keeping it in your mind. If someone insults you, you remember it all day and the next day. But when we read the Bible, too often we immediately forget what we've read. Meditation is when you commit Scripture to memory and keep on thinking about it. And this is the way to freedom from anxiety, depression, negativity. We're always going to battle these things. But when your meditation is pleasing to God, you're winning. When your meditation is full of self-pity, you've already lost the battle. So, love God. Hate sin. Verse 35 is very shocking. May sinners be destroyed. I'm afraid hell is real, but God wants you to be saved. So, talk to yourself. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Come on, soul, praise the Lord. Because God is the creator. God is our provider. God preserves our lives for this life and for eternity if we belong to Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you very much indeed for all your gracious gifts to us. We thank you for a wonderful earth. We thank you for our food. We thank you for our lives, for our families, for all that you do for us. Above all, we thank you for Jesus. Lord, I pray that no one would leave here today without coming into a relationship with him and knowing that they've been saved for all eternity. Lord, keep us meditating on your word. Keep us praising you as we go into this week. No matter what happens to us, Lord, would we be godly and be like Jesus? So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name, amen.